of the Values Project, and it grew out of Melinda Cousins presenting a paper to our National Baptist Network, and out of that came the desire to develop that further, which they've done, looking at what Baptists look like today and how did we get there, which helps define where we go into the future, which is helpful. A desire to remember and recall and renew and restory is a word that has come out a lot, telling of what it means for us to be a Baptist church. And all of us have come from different frameworks, and it's not saying that Baptists are better than anyone else. It's just saying, look, if you're in this auditorium or if you're part of this group of people, you need to know where we've come from and what we look like and why we do what we do. That's all it's doing. And it helps us to understand how we operate, what framework we sit in within our local framework here and our statewide and national, and also what are the values that drive what we do? What are the values that drive what we're doing this weekend? So this is what we've been looking at. So if first of all, we looked at what it was to be Jesus-centered, who do we follow? And this has to do with our authority. And secondly was who we are as community, and Riley looked at that, talks about our identity, how that we're centered on Jesus, and our identity is found as being a community of followers of Jesus. In that first one, being Jesus-centered, we're looking at what it meant to be led by the Holy Spirit, formed and reformed by the Scriptures, and that will lead us into what it would look like as a community. It shapes so much of what we do together, and it's a diverse community. Baptists are fairly broad. We look different things in different places. But there are some basic things that look the same in what we do. So amidst this diversity, there are two ordinances that are there wherever we are, and that is we have baptism and we have a simple communion feast that we share, the Lord's table. Those things are two of our ordinances within Baptist churches. And we're also churches by association. We believe in the autonomy of the local church. So we do community loosely. So we're not top-down structured. Mike Mills doesn't tell us what to do. I love what Mike does. He gives us some really good guidance and wisdom there, but we're not a top-down structure. There's the autonomy of the local church. So the decisions that we make here on Tuesday night are driven from the bottom up, from within a community of people as we come together to understand the mind of Christ. So this sense of community. And then last week we were looking at this concept of mission. Just pull that back one. Sorry. This concept of mission. And one of our Baptist legends has said that any Baptist is a missionary. So you don't have to be on the green team to be a missionary this morning. You are if you carry the Baptist tag, because that's where we've come from. That's who we are. We are centered on Jesus. We are formed in the Word of God and reformed. We have the Holy Spirit within us. And this idea of community that centers on Jesus has this this basic belief that it is not the state that determines who we believe in. It's not the king that tells us or where we are born that determines who we are in faith. But as a community together, we are able to invite people into this place. And that's this concept of mission together. All right? So we were looking at that last week, what it meant to be followers of Jesus and fulfilling his mission. And we believe that each Baptist church is best placed to practice mission within its local community and to seek to understand its context and share the good news in word and deed in that setting. So for us down here on the Fleurieu, we're unique in Baptist churches in South Australia. We are. Because we happen to have a festival down here that has a whole bunch of kids that come, and we understand mission in that context. It may not be that context up at Grange. You've got your own stuff up there. But for us, that's mission in our context. So we look at ways that we, through word and deed, bring something of the life and story and love of Jesus into that framework. So we follow him. And what do we do? What's the next bit? You're not sure. We follow him and we fulfill his mission. Let me do it again, all right? It's super corny and I hate it when someone does this. We follow him or follow Jesus and... That's better. Good. So now what I want you to do is, because today we're looking at freedom. And freedom means all sorts of things to all sorts of people. So what I want you to do, and if you're visiting with us this morning, find someone that you know, hopefully. If you don't want to do it, then sit there and look out the window or check your devices. But chat with someone near you and talk. What does freedom mean? When you think of the word freedom, what is it saying? You've got a couple of minutes to do that. Thank you. It's an interesting concept. And they mention about Thomas Helwys, because our freedom of religion or our separation of church from state began in a particular context, and that was in the 1600s. And that was where the king basically determined what religion you had. And so Thomas Helwys and others were pushing back on that. That's why they're known as the dissenters. But this was an era when, for you to do that, it was risky, because you'd be viewed as being a heretic, and they tended to burn heretics at the stake. So for us today, it's fairly safe to have a conversation about freedom of religion. You're not likely to get burned at the stake. You might have some bad Facebook posts or whatever, but that's about it. Totally different from the context that our Baptist heritage grew out of. Thomas Helwys was, when the king was pushing so hard on in relation to a particular faith that you're born into, that's why we are mission driven, it's not a faith you're born into, it's something that you receive, you receive Jesus. This setting that the early Baptists were in, Helwys took 40 of his followers and went over to Amsterdam. They got mixed up there with some of the reformers in Amsterdam and there for a while. By the way, he felt it was safe for his wife and family to stay in England, but she got put in prison. We never hear of her again. After a while, these dissenters come back from Amsterdam. They felt it was safe, came back into England and there for a time. And then we have the Authorized Version. Remember the Authorized Version? King James Version of the Bible, this translation that came into being. And what Thomas Helwys did was he'd actually written a book himself, and there was mention of that. The book was titled The Mystery of Iniquity, and he presented the king with a copy of his book, and in the front cover of the book he was a personal handwritten appeal to the king that a person's religion was a matter between them and God. It was not the business of the king. And for this he was put into prison and the key was thrown away, and that's where he died, in prison. You see, these were difficult days, but what they were trying to do was work through what it meant for the state to be the state and expressions of faith and religion over here as being separate from that. That's what I mentioned in our first study, back in the first week. If you go to Melbourne and look at the churches in Melbourne, you have Collins Street Baptist Church, which is a fantastic place there. They have a wonderful ministry, and it's our Flinders Street Baptist only. It's in Melbourne. But it's on a little block, a little narrow gutted thing between big buildings. And you look down the street and you've got St. Paul's, which is the Anglican church. It's on a big block. It's a huge. It was built during the gold rush, mid to late 1800s. A lot of money thrown into it. And then you got the little old Baptist church down the road. What's that all about? It's about our history. Because what they did, the Baptists and the Congregationalists, when the state governments were giving denominations free land holdings in their main cities, the Baptists and the Congregationalists said, no thanks, we don't want that, because we don't want to be controlled by the state. And it went back to their forebears in the 1600s. One of the current concerns of today in various expressions and ministries of faith around Australia is that if you get the government dollar, it does come with certain ties. It does come with requirements. And Baptists have been particular about saying, well, we just want to see this as a work of God, and sometimes it's easy to sell your soul for the dollar. We opted not to do that, and we still do that. So that was the start of this conversation about what freedom looked like. And it, you know, it doesn't mean that there aren't any restraints or boundaries. Sometimes when you talk about freedom, someone will say, well, I can do whatever I want. It doesn't matter what impact I have on others. But I'm sort of reminded of Galatians 5, which, in fact, the book of Galatians is a lot about freedom and slavery. But it says, for you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Isn't that a lovely expression of what freedom is? Freedom is not something that you use your freedom to satisfy your own stuff or your sinful nature with no responsibility to what impact you have on others. You use your freedom to serve others in love. And I think we're seeing that witnessed throughout the church in many places in Australia. Because what freedom does, and one of the things that we like about this, is that our faith gives us some healthy and helpful guidelines which remind us of what it is to be followers of Jesus. If we can, thanks. We go that one. Gives us some helpful guidelines. By the way, one of those guidelines is this passage from Galatians. We looked at it last week. It says, devote yourselves to prayer. This is Paul writing from prison. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plans concerning Christ. You know, that's a great prayer, particularly for those in our green team. They're not proselytizing, but sometimes you get an opportunity to share about how God loves them. It's good because they'll say to some of our young people, say, why is it that you do what you do? So, well, I love Jesus and I love you guys and I'm out there serving for you. It's a simple thing. So one of the things that you can be praying today is that the crews out there will take up the opportunities that they have. And verse 4 says, pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. I love that for you to be praying for me in at the police station tonight. That when there's that opportunity, how can I pray that as clearly as I can? It was on Friday night, we had in there for the briefing about 7 o'clock, and we had a stack of crew coming in, and a guy I'd never met before, and I tend to meet crews from town, comes in. And he said, oh, you the chaplain? And I said, yeah. He said, oh, I'm a Christian too. And people are coming and going. This is in the crib room. And he says, can I pray for you? And I'm thinking, this is a little weird. There's people everywhere. I said, sure. So he must have a Pentecostal background because that's what he did. And it's like he didn't shut his eyes, and I'm standing there not sure whether to shut my eyes, where to look. And you got coppers coming and going, and they're looking, oh, what's going on, Tony? Not sure. But I loved his prayer. He's praying that I'd have opportunities over the next 3 days to be able to just speak into people's lives or just to listen and be there for others. But the last part of this is where it fits for us today. Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most out of every opportunity. You know, sometimes we get so precious about religious freedom that we're not always very wise. We get so precious about our rights that sometimes Jesus says, forget about your rights. I wasn't too worried about mine. And look what happened. You changed the world. He still is. He says, live wisely amongst those who are not believers. And if folk don't believe the same thing as you do, don't get upset about that. Don't think that that's an affront to you. This is a welcoming community. It's an inclusive community. Folk can come and sit in this community and not believe the same things that we do, and we will embrace them and we'll introduce them to Jesus. And we'll be more worried about who they are and where they sit than what they hold to. Let them come and belong. Amen? It's okay to say that every now and then. But let them come and welcome them and talk to them and show word and deed, introduce them to Jesus, because sometimes we become so pushy on our rights and in our beliefs and our religious freedom. Live wisely. And here's number 6. Let your conversation be, what's the word? Gracious. I hope I've been gracious this morning. And what's the second word? Attractive. I think of that about some of our national debates that have been had over the last year or two. Whichever side of the fence you sit on. Our words, our conversation, it'll be seasoned with salt. Gracious. Attractive. So that you'll have the right response for everyone. Freedom. It's a good subject. We move from there forward. It's Jesus that sets us free. Sometimes I have people say to me, Tony, I'm just praying for God's will in my life. You know what God's will in your life is? To be set free. We know that. Galatians tells us that, 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. The entire chapter 4 talks about slavery and freedom. Summary statement, start of chapter 5. God's will for your life is you to be free today. I love Rob's prayer last week. You know, God doesn't want us to be slaves. He sets us free. So we value our freedom in Jesus, and we experience this in Jesus. We value that. And in Australia, there's 5 fundamental freedoms in our law, at least at the moment. And they look different in different places. We have freedom of speech. We're free within the bounds of the law to say or write what we think privately or publicly about government or about any topic, really. But that's somewhat changing, not because the law has changed, but because of public attitude. Sometimes we're not very good because it's as though if someone holds another view for it than what we do, then that's hate speech. So I can speak into something and well, that makes me a bigot, but I just have a different view. It's not that I'm bigoted, it's just that I might have a different view to what you do. And we're having less ability to have dialogue these days. It becomes very black and white and very this sit in this camp and sit in this camp. No ability to journey together. And what we're to do is you move from simplicity through complexity to simplicity, only this one's maturity. And for a lot of people, they sit in simplicity. I'm right, and this is what I believe, this is what I hold to. And there's no ability to move through complexity and arrive at the other side. So there is freedom of speech, but it is within some boundaries and some public statements that have been made. People maybe may quote scripture and the scripture says what it says, but it may not be the brightest thing to do. It's not really helpful for us. Freedom of speech is not an excuse to harm others. It's not an excuse to use hurtful words. Then there's also freedom of association. So we're free to join any organization of group or groups if it's legal. You're not allowed to join a bikie gang. Although, Barry and Heather, do we need to talk about this? We've got one of our elders that's a member of a bikie gang. We were talking about church discipline in our first service, but he's looking a bit uncomfortable. We can have associations with other groups without sort of any ramification. That might be a trade union or a political party or a church. Freedom of association. There's also freedom of assembly. We're free to meet with other people in public or private places. We can have small groups or large groups. I mentioned that where I visited in China, their church had grown to over 600 people and the government shut down the church. They cancelled the lease on the property with the owner, and they had to then meet in 3 separate places because they didn't have freedom of assembly. We have that here. It was a wonderful thing. We also have freedom of movement. You know, if you want to go over to that bizarre state, Victoria, you can do that without, you can just cross the border without any restrictions, whatever state you want to go to. Freedom of movement. You also have freedom of religion, and this is probably the sticky one for Australians. And that for us as Baptists, this idea of freedom of religion is this separation of church and state. You know, this is particularly true of our religious schools, and I use the word religious schools rather than just Christian schools because we're not the only ones that have religious schools. So when we're talking about schools within Australia, I'll use the word religious schools. And religious schools are not simply places where children learn maths and science and everything else that they're supposed to learn at school. But they are faith communities that are seeking to cultivate a particular way of life and faith and living. So that being the case, in that context, they have the right to hire teachers that will cultivate the values that were the foundation of that school. And we have that as a value within this country at the moment. But you see, not only is it there true for Christian schools, but for us to be consistent, that's got to apply to Muslim schools, to Jewish schools. We can't take the moral high ground and say, we want freedom of religion in our schools. We want to have the right to be able to employ who will, at least in some way, support the values that are the foundation of their school. And if they don't support the values that are the foundation of our school, then we can ask them not to teach here. That's a part of this freedom of religion conversation. It's just like, you know, if you wanted to join the Greens Party and you're a coal miner, do you think you'd have much chance of getting in? Of course you wouldn't. Why? Because you don't support the values of the organisation that you're wanting to be a part of. It would be very difficult. And the Greens have a right to have people on board that they want and have people not on board that they want. Now, that's not a religious party, although it gets very close in some sort of areas. But we abuse freedom of religion when we don't extend that same freedom to others that we demand for ourselves. So sometimes the evangelical church can get overexcited about other expressions of faith when they want freedom, but we want freedom as well, and we don't want them to have freedom for all sorts of reasons, because they do faith differently. But if we're going to be consistent, then it's got to be the same across the board, because that's when we jump out of our box and we do harm. And our words aren't gracious. And that's why the other side at the moment, if I can be that sort of vague, is it pushes back hard against us and are less able to have dialogue, because for so long we've pushed our side of the argument without allowing a sort of dialogue and acceptance of each other. So now we find ourselves, in a sense, on the receiving end. And as Tim Costello says, what we don't need to do is feel like we're the victim. Instead, what we need to do is behave well and be people of grace. So this is an interesting space that we come into, this idea of freedom of religion, particularly in Australia today. The other part of this is freedom of conscience as well. That's a space for each one of us to discern, sharing opinions and ideas, and dare we say it, that we might even disagree with each other at times. I don't think that would ever happen, though. You know, a number of years ago when I was in Victoria, we had about seven regional superintendents who looked after regions of churches in a pastoral way, and they did some research, and over 50% of their time they were dealing with churches in conflict. Over 50% of their time. So they developed an entire thing on a healthy church and how we can disagree together and still love each other. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? it is. You know, Riley gave us a great exposition of Romans 14 and 15 a little while ago. And that's a key passage. What happens when we disagree? And I'm talking about, we'll use the word disputable things from Romans 14. I'm not talking about a conversation about the deity of Christ or the inerrancy of Scripture or the Trinity. They are foundational things. And if you want to read those, look at the 1681 Baptist Confession of Faith, which is a really good document. You can download it as a PDF file. Freedom of conscience, what do you do? Disputable things. One of the things that Riley said is that we are to be a welcoming community. Even if that person over there is a vegan and this person over here loves his steak, get on with each other. Welcome each other. Why? Because Christ welcomes us together. If this person likes a stubby and this person's a teetotaler. Get over it. Have a difference, but learn to journey together because God has welcomed you. If you want to celebrate Christmas as a holy day and that really offends you, you don't want to do that, then it's a disputable thing. Welcome each other and work it out. That's going from simplicity through complexity to simplicity again. Romans 14, wonderful text. Don't sit in judgment. Why? Because we'll all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Really sobering little verse. He also says, as much as depends upon you, be it what? Peace. Are you a peacemaker? Are your words gracious, seasoned with salt? When was the last time you were expressing an opinion or a view or a thought? What where you sit on stuff and someone has a different view and you feel your palms begin to sweat and you feel your anxiety levels go up and you're ready for a pushback and we're in for an argument here, but you need to just take a step back. You see, this is what Romans 14 is talking about. Law of liberty, the law of love. Don't be a stumbling block. As much as you're convinced in your own mind, do it as unto the Lord. So, with these freedoms, let me encourage you, as we started, we got you to have a chat together, talk about what freedom was. Here's the thing I want you to do now. What's the pressure point of, pick one of these, what's a pressure point for you and your workplace, you and your sporting club, your social club, your neighborhood, your family get together at Christmas time? Talk about how you might respond to that graciously and thoughtfully. So take a couple of minutes, pick one of these and say, how's that a pressure point? Not how you disagree with what the other side believes, but how is this a pressure point for you in your world today as in this Baptist community? Can you do that? Take a couple of minutes and then we'll wrap it up. Some of our crew probably didn't get into bed till 3 o'clock this morning, so they've done an amazing job in staying awake. Thank you. Anyone want to speak into that? Just talk to us about how does this fit for the world that you sit in at the moment? Any comments? Well, let me encourage you to continue the conversation over coffee after we finish, or a cup of tea, or a glass of water. I'm reminded of good Baptist Tim Costello. He said, who now works with, he's a senior fellow at the Center for Public Christianity. And he said, Jesus didn't go around demanding legislation to protect his rights. Jesus didn't advocate for freedom of religious legislation. He said, I would say to Christians, if you want to see persecution, let me take you to places where there is persecution of Christians and other religious groups. Let me take you to Afghanistan, Syria, Pakistan, and I'll show you persecution. So just be careful we don't become victims. Let's seek to be Jesus in the communities that God places us in. Particularly pray for our students at schools and universities. This is a difficult place for them to be, how they get hit in those spaces. In the workplace, the language that we are not allowed to use, or the language that we've got to use, or how we've got to be careful about doing this or that, and why, wisdom in the workplace. All of this is very much grounded in where we have come as Baptists, where we sit today, and the Lord will lead us into the future. Amen.